Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the gospel lesson which you have heard, we hear an invitation and a call which Jesus extends to Simon and his brother Andrew and James and John. He simply says, "Follow me." We do not find here any oral response from these fishermen. But we do read, immediately they left their nets and went with him. And also, they left their father Zebedee with the hired men in the boat and followed him. If we take time to carefully read the Gospel of St. Mark, we shall be surprised at the many expressions that he uses to indicate that there must be no indecision, there must be no hesitancy, no delay when it comes to the work of the Lord. In his very first chapter, Mark uses as many as 10 times such words as straightway, forthwith, with, anon, and here he uses the word immediately. Our Lord Jesus felt that there was no time to lose when it came to doing the Father's will. And this feeling of urgency in the Lord's work radiates into those whom he calls that they might not hesitate, but immediately take up and follow. Follow Jesus. There are many, many who came and followed Jesus when he sojourned here on earth. Often there were large groups, throngs of people. Many recognized him. Many certainly knew much about him. But in the true sense of the word, were they followers? Today also there are many who know about Jesus, know what the Bible says about him, and regard it as truth. A knowledge of Jesus and an acceptance of what the Bible says of him as true, necessary though they may be, are not enough. The following which we speak of here is a following in faith, is a trusting in him who extends the invitation. This following, this faith, is born and lives in an individual through the gracious work and operation of God's Holy Spirit through the Word of God, the Gospel. And this Gospel says, Christ died for sinners. And this follower, this believer, this man of faith confidently asserts, Christ died for me. Faith is, my friends, a matter of the heart more than of the head. When the words, the just shall live by faith, flashed into the heart of Luther, there was born within him, by the power of God's Spirit, a trust, a confidence, a joy in believing. Faith of the heart, not mere mental belief, saved him, made of him a follower of Jesus. And it is written, the Lord will save them because they trust in him. I hope that we will not only acknowledge the gospel, but that we will truly appreciate it. Here the gospel is called the good news. Jesus went to Galilee and preached good news. The good news that he preached spoke of grace, God's grace. It spoke of forgiveness. And this, of course, because of his own holy and precious blood. Paul puts it this way, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Here alone, then, in Christ Jesus is an escape for the sinner. When his conscience accuses him, when the law condemns, and when death threatens, following Jesus, trusting in him, we have a refuge. Yes, in him who took our guilt upon himself, who suffered our punishment, and who gave us all that he won for mankind through his perfect life, his innocent suffering, and his bitter death. Following Jesus, my friends, is not the result of our own deciding or our own merit or our own work. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Through the gospel, the good news, God's mercy brings forth faith which accepts the undeserved grace of God. We use the word grace very often, and perhaps don't always consider how much it really contains. Grace simply is the love of God directed toward a person who is not worthy of it and who does not deserve it. I think there is a beautiful example in the scripture of this type of grace. It speaks of a young man who left his father's house and spent his father's hard-earned money in drinking and in gambling and carousing. And finally he returned, ragged, penniless. Had that young man received what he deserved, his father would have given him a sound punishment. But no, the boy's father ran to meet him, put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and exchanged the boy's rags for good garments and prepared a great feast for him. This conduct on the part of the boy's father is an example of grace. Love shown towards someone who did not deserve it. We were exactly in that situation. And all men are in their natural state. But Jesus stands ready to forgive all and invite all to be his follower. He cast the spotless garment, the robe of his own righteousness, about us. Heaven opens unto us undeserved, and the Father's house becomes our home. All this purely out of God's grace. We have deserved not even the least of his good gifts. Such followers, such believers in Christ also become, through the gracious work of God's Holy Spirit again, anxious to help and to save others. It makes of them fishers of men. The great commission, the command of Christ to go into all the world, to baptize and to preach, becomes all the more real. The opportunity to apply the water on the head of an infant or an adult, assuring them that their sins are truly forgiven. The Holy Spirit works within that heart the miracle of God's grace. The same thing happens when we proclaim the sweet gospel message. We're unable to give anyone saving faith. God alone can do that. But we are able to bring the faith-creating word of God to all men. And when we do that, then God does his good work through that word. Saving faith then is accompanied with once again the concern and the desire to save others. Paul says that he has a great sorrow and a pain in his heart on account of his fellow Jews. He wept when he thought of the enemies of the cross of Christ. And I believe he speaks for all fishermen, yes, fishers of men, when he says, since we know the terror of the Lord, we're trying to win the confidence of people. With our words then and with our lives, we want to witness for Christ. We pray for laborers. We support the training of pastors. We support the mission work of our church. And not only the pulpit, my friends, but the pew must also echo the words, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. The invitation to follow me is certainly the greatest invitation that man can receive. And the most important answer that can be given is that of following the example of Simon, Andrew, James, John, of whom is recorded they followed him. And what a wonderful privilege, and how much is included in that. Someone has said, a follower of Jesus is an individual with a mind through which Christ thinks, a heart through which he loves, a voice through which he speaks, a hand through which he helps. And as his followers, there is no time to lose. Our Lord's business requires haste. Tomorrow may be too late, and knowing this, we in gratitude want to dedicate and rededicate ourselves to the fisherman's task, baptize the nations far and nigh, the triumph of the cross record, the name of Jesus glorify, till every kindred call him Lord. Amen.